What's up? This is Darius Daniels, and I'm about to share with you the four types of people you've got to have in your life. That I believe all people are equal. All people are equal. Off the street, Wall Street, we are all made in the image of God. Magna cum laude, summa cum laude, thank you, laude. All people are equal. But just because everyone is equal doesn't mean everyone adds equal value to you. And if you don't understand that, you will live your life dealing with chronic and consistent frustration. Watch this, because there will be expectations that we have of people that those people not only will not meet, but sometimes those people cannot meet them. We had this saying growing up in Mississippi, you can't get blood out of a turnip, right? If, no matter how much you squeeze it, if it's not in there, it's not in there. So I think it's important to realize and recognize that, man, okay, even though everybody in my life is equally valuable, I need to release myself from the expectation that everybody in my life is going to add equal value to me. They aren't. And listen to this. And you won't add equal value to everyone in your life. Should you add some value to everyone in your life? Absolutely. But there are a number of different factors that determine how much value you can add. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say that one more time. Should you add value to everyone in your life? Yeah, as best as you can. But you can't add equal value to everyone in your life, even if you wanted to, because it's one thing for you to give value. It's another thing for others to receive it. So there are factors that you can't control that determine how much value you can add and where you can add value. And so I want to give you a framework to kind of help you discern and determine what you should expect in terms of value and who you should expect it from, but then also where you should invest and how you should be strategic about investing in others, okay? And that's why I say I believe you need to be clear on the four types of people that everyone needs in their life. Okay, let me give them to you. Here's the first one. The first one is friends. Listen to this. I want you to catch this. Jesus said, no greater love has a man than this, that he would lay down his life for his what? Friends. Lay down his life for his friends. Okay, now he's speaking literally there now. He's talking about like, like passing away, right? What he did for us. But I think it also applies metaphorically. What's the principle, Darius? Friends get your life. Did you catch that? Friends get your life. I'm about to share with you some other categories in a minute. Other people may get your gifts. There are people that get my gifts that aren't my friends. Other people may get your time. There are people that get my time and things that get my time that aren't my friends. Video games get my time sometimes. Other things may get my talent. But friends get me. And I think it's very, very important for us to wrap our head around that, right? Because when it comes to the area of friendship, I think friendship, out of all the four kinds of people I think you need in your life, I believe friends are one of the most important. And the reason is your friends are going to get the real you. And what does that mean? It means that probably no one is going to have the ability to help you, to speak into you, to advise you like friends. You know, I'm a coach and I spend time coaching people. I coach all sorts of people and all sorts of groups. And one of the things that I realized is that people will pay you to not be honest with you. It's the weirdest thing. It's like people will set up appointments with you and then not be honest with you, which, hey, again, I'm not judging here. The point that I'm making is you're more likely to be the real you with friends. And so here's something that you should expect in friendship. There is a friend, here's a proverb, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, right? There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So here's my best definition of friendship. Friends are what family's supposed to be without the last name. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Sometimes There are bonds you have with people that are not your family that are greater than those that you have with your family. And it doesn't mean your family's bad. It doesn't mean that they're wrong. What does it mean? It just means that there's a bond there. I don't have physical or natural brothers, but there are friends that are like brothers to me. And when they need me, I respond like their family. And when I need them, they respond like I'm family. Because in family, there's reciprocation. And in friendships, there should be reciprocation. That doesn't mean that you do the same thing for each other. It doesn't mean you do the same thing for each other. Or it doesn't mean you do different things for each other the same way or to the same measure. But it does mean that where there's friendship, I should have an expectation that there's going to be value added back to me here. And I should feel safe enough to say, I'm going to uniquely invest and give value in this relationship. I need friends in my life. And I'm telling you, we throw that word around loosely, and I think we're too liberal with it. Because if they are not like family without the last name, if friends are what family's supposed to be without the last name. Let me say that again. Friends are what family's supposed to be without the last name. If they aren't that, that's not quite friendship. We need friends. Secondly, we need associates. Now, people confuse friends and associates, right? Friends are people that you're doing life with. Associates are relationships that are formed as a result of intersecting schedules, common goals, or common interests. What does it mean? It means that if my kids play soccer and your kids play soccer, we're always at soccer practice together. It means that you and I can have a cordial relationship. But it doesn't mean that the vulnerability I would display with a friend is the kind of vulnerability that I should display with an associate. Now, can an associate become a friend? Absolutely, but you don't treat the associate like a friend until you see that they become one. And so many times, people are upset, they're angry, they're mad because they got burned by people because they treated them like one thing when the people were actually another. Associates aren't evil. Sometimes associates are just people you haven't known long enough to even gauge whether or not you want to take the relationship to the friendship level, or for you to discern whether or not you see some of the character traits that you need to see in a person for you to feel like that's the kind of person you want to be friends with. But what can happen is because there's intersecting schedules or because we got common goals, that means we can be in masterminds together or we can be a student, we can be in class together. We can be working together at the same place, right? And so sometimes people confuse those two. And I think you're setting yourself up for great disappointment because if you're expecting an associate to respond to you like a friend, they aren't. And you're also setting yourself up for great frustration because you're going to be investing in an associate in a way that you should only be investing in friends. Terrence, what do you mean? That sounds like we should treat everybody equal. We should treat everybody right. We should treat everybody right. We should treat everybody with love. We should treat everybody with honor. But you can't even show me. To me, no matter what faith you are, for me, I'm a follower of Jesus. So my life is based on his pattern and his principles. Treating everybody right is not treating everybody the same. Out of the 12 disciples, there were three of them he spent more time with than he did others. There were three of them he took to places he didn't take to others. He went to the Mount of Transfiguration, took Peter, James, and John. He didn't take the other nine. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he took Peter, James, and John. He did not take the other nine and did not come down and give the other nine an explanation. Because you're not always obligated to give explanations about why certain people occupy certain places in your life. Friends, this is relational intelligence 101. So we got friends and we need associates. Man, friends we do life with. Associates we can hang with, we can work with, we can partner with. Could they become friends? Yes. Can the relationship be friendly? Yes. But does that mean that because they're an associate, they're going to act like family is supposed to act without the last name? Nope. Not at all. Need friends, need associates. Number three, you need assignments. What's an assignment? That's people that you're actually helping. And so some of you may be thinking, I can't help people. I'm not that far along. If you're one step ahead of somebody else in any area, you can help them. I'm going to say that one more time. You may be thinking, I'm not that far along. If you are one step ahead of anybody in any area, you can help them. As a matter of fact, you may be better at helping people that are one step behind you than someone who is 10 steps ahead of them. Because someone who's 10 steps ahead of them may not even remember what it felt like to be where this person is, or they may not even remember what it felt like to deal with those specific obstacles. They may not even be able to relate in the same way. And this is what I'm telling you. You cannot live a thriving, purposeful life just by being a consumer. You must be a contributor. There is some fulfillment that you don't get until you contribute to the advancement of other people. It's just set up that way. God just created it that way. There is some fulfillment that only comes when you are intentionally making a contribution to another person. And when you're contributing to an assignment, whether a formal or informal mentee, whether a relationship is formal or not, this is what you realize. I am sowing in one field, but I'm going to harvest in another. In other words, you're adding value to that person knowing this person is not going to add that kind of value back to me. But it doesn't mean it's not going to come back to me. It's going to come back to me from another person, which is the fourth kind of person you need in your life. And that is a mentor, an advisor. So you need a friend, you need an associate, you need an assignment, you need an advisor. An advisor, what's that? That's a mentor. That's a formal or informal mentor. When I say formal, it means they carry the title. Informal, they may not even carry the title. Doesn't matter. Is there a person that has a degree in a dimension of expertise that they've learned in decades that they can give to you in days? Mentorship. A coach. Yep. When you think coach, most people think like basketball coach, sports coach. I want you to think stage coach. Back in the day, horse and buggy stagecoach. What did stagecoach do? Got you from one place to another. That's what coaches do in life. They get you from one place to another. They help you experience quantum leaps. One of the greatest things that happened to me in my life in 2014, when I was burned out, wiped out, had an anxiety attack, schedule all over the place. I was doing all the church things. I was living right, but I wasn't living well, still overwhelmed, still didn't set boundaries, couldn't manage my time, was pulled in a million different directions. But I was doing all the stuff they told me to do in church. I had a pastor too. But I needed a coach. And the coach helped me do more than live right. They helped me live well. This is what I say to people. I've said this before and I'll keep saying it. I have never in my life invested in a coach. I've always invested in me. What do you mean? That when I invested in a coach, I didn't see it as investing in a coach. I saw it as investing in me. And I think the tribe of people that are in my coaching group, one of my coaching groups, is called Daniel's Den. And DanielsDen.com. And so we got people from all over the world who are part of that coaching group. And they would say, I'm not invested in Daniel's Den. They would say, I'm invested in me, because the greatest investment I can make is the investment I make in myself. I believe in me enough to invest in me. And I believe if you can get the right people. See, some of us got the right people in our life. They're just not in the right place. They're really an assignment, you're treating them like an associate, or they're really an associate, you're treating them like a friend, or they're really an advisor and you want the advisor to be your friend. But if you can put the right people in your life in the right place, you can have a life that you never dreamed you could have. And I want you to have it. Take care.